conversion or confusion. And I want to introduce the subject to you very basically and very simply. And I want you to understand what real biblical conversion is all about. And there is a great amount of confusion about conversion. You've often heard me say that there is a great amount of confusion concerning Christianity. What is a Christian? How do you know you're a Christian? Why do you think you're a Christian? There's an awful lot of confusion about that. But for many people who have an understanding of what Christianity is, there's confusion about conversion. We have all sorts of ideas and all sorts of theories forwarded as to what real conversion is. And one of the most dangerous, without a doubt, is that if you make some sort of a decision for Christ, you are converted. Now that's only a half truth. And it is perfectly true that you've got to decide for Jesus Christ. And you've got to do something with the gospel. That is true. We want to put it all into its biblical perspective and measure up your life to see whether you in fact have been converted or whether, like countless numbers of others, you only think you have. And so I want to speak to you for just a short while, just to introduce the subject. I want to speak to you on the subject of the reason why you need to be converted, the necessity for conversion. And I'm reading to you the opening verses of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and the first five verses. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change." Now the word there can be converted. In fact, if you've got the old authorized version, you'll see the word converted is used. "Unless you change or be converted and become like little children, you will never..." Do you see that? "You will never..." It's an emphatic negative. "You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." Now, if a man is drowning, he has no greater need than a lifeline. What will it matter to him if he's drowning and you offer him all the gold in the world? It doesn't matter one whit to him. What he needs is a lifeline. If a man is trapped in a burning house, his greatest need is an exit. It's no good you talking to a man who's trapped in a burning house about money and wealth and position and fame. That doesn't matter to him. What he needs at that point is an exit. If a man is dying of an incurable disease, what's his greatest need? His greatest need is a remedy. It's no good talking to a man whose time is limited and whose illness is terminal about money and gold and material things and wealth and fame and fortune and position and power and popularity. No good talking to a man who's dying of an incurable disease about those things. What he needs is a remedy. Well, what then about men and women with immortal souls? What do they need? What's the greatest need in the world? For every man that's born into it, every woman that's born into it, every man and woman and child, what is your greatest need? There is no doubt in my mind that many of you sit in the service with great needs, with pressing needs, with urgent needs. But what is your greatest need? And I say to you without hesitation from God's word, your greatest need is to be converted. Without a doubt, the soul's greatest need is to be converted. And I'm using that word because the Bible uses that word. Because it's a good word. Because it explains what it's all about. And because most of you understand what we are talking about when we talk about being converted. I have said to many people in the course of pastoral counseling, "Are you a Christian?" They'll say, "Yes." I'll say to them, "When were you converted?" "Oh, I'm not a converted Christian," they'll say. But you can't be one without the other. That's the point. And what you need is to be converted. It doesn't matter whether you're religious, you need to be converted. It doesn't matter whether you're good, you need to be converted. Or whether you're bad, you need to be converted. Your greatest single need at this moment is to be converted. You don't only need to be moved, you've got to get converted. You don't only need to be convinced, you've got to get converted. We don't only need to break your arguments down, you've got to get converted. We're not here to trap you. We're not here to bully you. We're not here to batter you down so that you've got nothing more to say. Why we exist is to help you by God's grace to get converted. Your greatest single need, friend, is that you need to be converted. And I don't say so. Jesus says so. And I want to tell you in the first place why you need to be converted. Listen to the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. Unless you change or be converted and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why does a man need to be converted? Why does every woman here need to be converted? Why do you as a husband and a father need to be converted? Or as a child with godly parents, why do you need to be converted? Because the plain, simple fact of the matter is this: no conversion, no heaven. Jesus said so. Jesus said that if you are not converted, you won't get to heaven. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's not the words of some harsh, ranting preacher. Those were the words of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the eternal God who came to this world to die and offer himself up as an atonement for the sins of the world. You cannot go to heaven unless you've been converted. You see, my friends, you need to understand that you can't go to heaven just as you are. There's not a man or a woman alive who can go to heaven just the way they come born into this world. You are born into this world a rebel. The Bible tells us that we are spiritually dead until we come to Christ. There are no spiritual corpses in heaven. We are told that we are blind until we come to Christ. There are no blind people in heaven. We are told that we are slaves to sin until we come to Christ. There are no sinful slaves in heaven, except those who have been converted. We are told that without Christ we are under the powers of darkness. There are no such people in heaven. We are told that without Christ we are defiled in our conscience. There will not be one defiled conscience in heaven. You've got to get converted, or else you can't go to heaven. You wouldn't fit into heaven if you are not converted. You wouldn't be able to stand it if you're not converted. Unless you become converted, regenerated, born again, unless that happens to you, you'll be like a fish out of water in heaven. You'll scream for God to release you from that blessed place. You wouldn't fit in. Everything in heaven would just be abrasive to your nature, because you would never fit into that holy place unless you've been given a new nature. You've got to get converted if you want to get to heaven. Now I'm sure there's not a single man alive who's a thinking man or a rational man, or a single thinking woman alive who doesn't want to go to heaven. There are many people who don't think very much about these things until some terrible sickness comes upon them, or an accident, or a tragedy, or old age creeps up upon them. Then they begin to think about these things. Still, they wouldn't articulate it the way I'm articulating it. They wouldn't speak about it the way I'm speaking about it. They wouldn't be able to put it into the words I'm putting it into. They don't think about these things. But there's a vague kind of a fear that comes upon people. And you see it, especially when you're working with older people. As the years go by, they become more insolent, more insecure, more petty. When there's no hope, they begin to cling to things and familiar things and cloister themselves about for some sort of imagined protection. When there's no hope, everybody wants hope. They begin to think vaguely about hope beyond the grave. My friends, God's word tells us quite categorically that there's only one of two destinations that every soul is going to: heaven or hell. And no thinking man would willfully commit spiritual suicide by rejecting the offer of salvation. You cannot go to heaven until you've been converted. What is the answer to the question, why should I get converted? The answer is that unless you are converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That comes from the greatest authority of all, none other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That means that until God the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and opened your mind and understanding so that you can appreciate these things, you won't even know what I'm talking about. You can't see it, comprehend it, grasp it. You see, unless the Spirit of God touches your heart, you can't even understand what we are talking about. But Jesus said that until you've been converted, you cannot get into heaven. He said so. Now I want you to notice the place that you're barred from without conversion. You are barred from heaven. My friends, you can live your life being barred from a church. That's not too important. You can live your life being barred from a country. That is not too important. You can live your life being barred from a certain family circle. That is not too important. But to live your life through and to slip into eternity knowing that you've been barred from heaven is tragedy beyond words. Barred from heaven. Barred from heaven. Why are you barred from heaven? Because you've never been converted. Heaven. Oh, my friends, doesn't it stir your heart? In this troubled world of ours, with all of its tragedy and all of its chaos and all of its unhappiness and all of its sin and all of its corruption, there's a better land ahead. And for numbers of us, we're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to going to the place where our Lord Jesus Christ is King. Oh, friends, heaven. You're going to be barred from heaven unless you've been converted. Heaven, the place where hearts cease to sorrow. You'll be barred from there. Heaven, where the tears are wiped away. You're going to be barred from there. Heaven, where sin never enters in. You'll be barred from there. Heaven, where many of your own godly loved ones are waiting. People who have been converted. Why, some of you can remember a godly mother who went to a grave sorrowing over you. Some of you can remember having a father who prayed for his children and you've turned your back on your father's prayers and your father's God. Why, he's in heaven now. You'll be barred from there unless you've been converted. Heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ reigns as King and from whence he's going to come to set up his kingdom here on earth. Heaven, oh, what a place. And you'll be barred from that place unless you get converted. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And what do you lose here if you aren't converted? My friend, you lose hope if you're not converted. I've not yet met a single converted man who has never had hope when he's come to die. But I've seen countless numbers of people who have come to the brink of the grave, who died without God and without hope. Oh, you know, friends, it's possible to pluck up courage to face death if you're not a converted man. It's possible to overcome the fear of death if you're not a converted man. But you cannot overcome death itself until you've been converted. It's possible to psych yourself up, but there's no victory for you beyond the grave unless you've been converted. If you are without Christ, then know this, that you are without hope. There's no pardon for you unless you've been converted. If you're not going to heaven, then you quite obviously are a man or a woman without the joy of pardon and forgiveness being extended to you. There, I believe, is the greatest single remedy that the world needs today. There are some people who need forgiveness more than they need the pills that they are taking. They need pardon more than they need the drugs that they're on. You need a cleansed heart and a clean conscience more than you need the psychiatrist that you are seeing. That's what you need. The greatest single remedy in the world today is forgiveness. And it comes from the hand of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit to every man and woman who has been converted. Heaven includes possessing all of these things. And if you do not possess heaven, you possess nothing else unless you've been converted. My friend, what you need to do is to be converted in the sense that you are going to heaven. And that sort of conversion experience is possible and available to men and women like you today. Oh yes, my friend, it's possible and it's available for you today. There are all sorts of gospels being preached today, but there's only one gospel that has the power to convert a soul, and that's the gospel that is based on the shed blood of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, who went to the cross and offered himself up as a substitution for the world, who atoned for the sins of the world, and who offers his perfect, sinless righteousness to every man or woman who will come to Him. Who gives His power into the hearts of men and women who come to Him. Who changes men and women, transforms them, turns them upside down, makes them into new fathers and new mothers and new teenagers and new children. Why, that's possible and available for people today. Have you been converted in that sense? My friend, you need to know today that unless you've been converted, you will never get to heaven. But now I want to point out to you what sort of subject matter our Lord is really talking about. He's talking about conversion. Oh, my friends, He's not talking about reformation. He's not talking about turning over a new leaf. He's talking about a real, total, soul conversion. Conversion means to turn. It means to change. It's a new birth. It's a new creation. That's what it is. And do you know, my friends, you cannot convert yourself? Did you know that? If God doesn't convert you, you'll never be converted. And the reason why I'm saying that to you, friend, is because there are many of who are aware that God is busy at work in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. And you've sat and you've heard the Word of God preached, and it seems as if the Spirit of God has just moved aside the people in front of you. And He's speaking directly to you. He's looking into your face, into your eyes, into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit, into your soul, into the depths of your understanding. And He's saying to you, the preacher's talking about you. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. No one else but you. Now when that happens to you, that is God at work in your heart. God at work in your soul. And then it behoves you to respond to that. You cannot convert yourself. God is the one who does the converting. But oh my, when He begins to work in your heart, you better respond. You better do something about the voice that's speaking to you. It is God at work in your heart, God at work in your mind, God who imparts new life. It is God who comes and turns your heart. But when He does do that, you'd better respond. Do you know, my friends, that there are people who live with the sad delusion that they can get converted when they want to? You can't. You can't. You cannot turn to God when you want to. How many times hasn't that been uttered from this pulpit? You can't make up your mind when you please to do so. There's only one moment when you can be converted, and that is the moment that God is speaking to your heart. At that moment, when the Word is being proclaimed, the book is open before you, and the preacher is preaching, and the Spirit of God has captured your mind and your heart, and is opening up your conscience so that you feel as if you're the only one in the church, that moment you must respond. That is God saying to you, this is the moment for your soul. This is the moment to establish once and for all where you are going, eternally speaking. This is where your destiny is settled. Oh, my friends, when God turns you, you will be turned. But when God is turning you, and God is speaking to your heart, and God is exposing your conscience, and God is singling you out, you've got to do something about it. You've got to do something about it. We're talking about being converted, about a miracle. How silly it is for men and women to put it off. We're not talking about reformation, turning over new leaves. I'm going to stop drinking, or I'm going to cut down on my smoking, or I'm going to stop swearing. We're not talking about that. Why, those are petty things. What we are talking about reaches far deeper than that. We are talking about God reaching into the soul of a man and the soul of a woman, turning him upside down and sending him home, born again, regenerated, a new creature with glorious hope and new power to live a new life. Now, you can't do that for yourself, but God can do it for you. And perhaps He's beginning to do it for you right now. And if that is the case, you've got to respond to it, as I'll tell you in just a moment. Now, I want to show you what the sign of a truly converted man is. Listen to what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be changed? To be converted? It means to become like little children. What did Jesus mean by that? Well, what our Lord was doing was simply pointing to a ready-made illustration, because the children were around Him, to show you what happens to a man in whose heart the Spirit of God is at work. How do you describe a little child? Well, there may be many ways to describe a child. But essentially, a little child is weak and needs to be cared for. A little child is dependent and needs the arms of his father and the bosom of his mother. And essentially, a little child is humble, doesn't know everything, and is willing to be taught. What Jesus was saying is this: when a man or a woman gets truly converted, they are finished forever with self. And friends, there is no greater single stumbling block to true conversion than our own inflated opinions of ourselves. There's no church who can teach me anything. There's no preacher who's going to convince me. Nobody's going to tell me I'm not a Christian. Nobody's going to tell me I'm not going to heaven. Why, I'm a far better Christian than most people who go to church. Nobody's going to tell me anything different from that, because I worship God in my own way. And there is the constant focus on self. But when God gets hold of a man, when God gets hold of a woman, when that man's heart is being touched and his mind is being renewed and he's being converted, the first thing he gets rid of is self. He throws it from his bosom like a poisonous snake. Self! My opinions about myself. Why, that has barred me from God and from hope for all these years. Now I throw it apart. Well, nothing more to do with it. Self has deceived me all these years. And now I'll forsake self and turn to Christ. You willing to become like a little child? Then you will be converted. That's true conversion. That's the real thing. Nothing superficial here. You need to be converted because you need to get to heaven. And true conversion is the slaying, the killing of self and pride deep down in my heart, so that I'll say, Lord, I'm laying down my weapons. I'm laying down my arms. I'm laying down my arguments. And I come, like every other sinner has to come. I come to the cross, and there I'll plead for mercy. And now as I close, let me point out to you the seriousness of this subject, good friends. Listen, the Lord Jesus introduced this subject like this: I tell you the truth. In your old King James's version of the Bible, it's verily, verily, I say unto you. It was the grammatical form used when Jesus was going to make a solemn and a weighty saying. There is nothing more important for you to know, says Jesus, than this: that unless you be converted, you cannot get to heaven. Why is this so important? Well, you see, this is what had happened. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Come on, Lord, you tell us, one of us 12. What's our rank going to be in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ looked at them with horror and saw them making a mistake that some of you are making tonight. You see, they presumed they were going there. You can't get to heaven, said Jesus, unless you're being converted. And the sign of being converted is that you finish with yourselves. And here you are, on the eve of my suffering, arguing amongst yourselves who's going to be the greatest. Why are you not finished with self? You're so all wrapped up in yourselves. Oh, I tell you, unless you get converted, you can't go to heaven. Are you presuming today? Is it a case of mistaken identity? I thought I was a Christian. I'm not. I know of people who were in church here last Sunday night when we preached on that subject. And I know some who walked out of here in a huff, terribly upset, because the shallowness and the superficiality of their conversion was exposed. Oh, friends, don't presume. I plead with you, don't presume. Your souls are eternal. There's a destiny awaiting you. You're going somewhere. God isn't finished with you when you die and your body goes into the grave.
The issue is too important for you to presume that you're going to heaven. Listen, you won't get there unless you've been converted. I want to turn your attention to the price that was paid so that you could be converted. Nothing less than the lifeblood from the veins of Emmanuel, our Savior, Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. But if you have not been plunged beneath the flood of the fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, you will not get to heaven. The price has been paid. The door has been thrown open. And there are men and women who will still procrastinate and say, "Ah, what a service. What beautiful singing. Stirring message. Lovely music. Great atmosphere." And walk out of here saying, "Sometime next week, sometime next year, I'll make up my mind." My scrapbook at home, I've got a little newspaper cutting, story of a man who took his little boy for a walk on a harbour wall somewhere in England. A blustery day, he took a £1 note out of his pocket to buy his son an ice cream, and the wind whipped it out of his hand. Down it went into the harbour water. No trouble at all, peeled his jacket off, and he plunged in after his £1 note. He got hold of the note, put it between his teeth, and he swam for the harbour wall. When he got there, he discovered it was all covered in seaweed and he couldn't get a grip. And he kept slipping back into the icy water, signalling to his son that he was going to swim across the harbour. And boats already putting out to go and fetch him. He started across, halfway across, got a cramp, sank beneath the waves to drown. Gave his life for a £1 note. What are you selling your soul for today, friends? The opinion of some friend or colleague? The affection of a girlfriend or a boyfriend who has no time for your Savior? The opinion of a husband or a wife? The position at work? It's a serious business. I tell you the truth, said Jesus. Unless you change, you will not enter heaven. And now I'm finished. But I know that God has spoken to some of you. And let me tell you something. There is not a man or a woman who can answer for you. God speaks to you personally, and you must respond personally, individually. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. The need for you to be converted is plain for you to see. The door to heaven is open for you. And the invitation is given to you. I am inviting you on behalf of my Master. Do you hear that? On behalf of my Master Jesus, I invite you to get converted, to come to Him for forgiveness, to receive a new life and the hope for heaven. I invite you. Will you come? Now will you bow in prayer? Now I'm not going to pray, you're going to pray. The invitation has been given and you've got to decide what you're going to do with it. I'm only the spokesman, I'm the keeper of the door. By God's grace it is being held open for you today. Now you decide whether you will come or not. Amen.